Grace and peace, and God bless you. Welcome back to Soteria Prophetic Ministries. I'm your host, Delisa Fields, and I'm delighted that you've taken a moment out of your busy day, out of your life, to share with me. We thank God for the airplanes, and we pray safe passage for everyone who's traveling over the July 4th weekend. I'm going to talk today about the audacity of hope. The audacity of hope. Years ago, former President Barack Obama wrote a book to that effect, and I've read several pages from it. Didn't get a chance to read the whole thing, but you know, I found it very inspiring considering his background and all of that. But today, I just want to take a little spin off of that and look at the life of Abraham. And I'm going to begin in Romans chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. And I'm sitting outside my beautiful yard, and I am, I live near the airport, so I do apologize for the background noise that you're hearing, but we should be okay shortly. Romans chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. The Bible says, "Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken. And so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God." And that's Paul's account of the faithfulness of Abraham to the church at Rome. I, you know, those of you who have been listening for a minute, you know that I love to rise early and just meditate, spend time in God's presence, just hear, you know, what's on his heart before I begin my day. And I actually started looking at Abraham's life last night. And so I sort of, I guess it just lingered in my spirit. And so I just felt led to, you know, do some studies and then share with you what I felt the Lord was saying in terms of the audacity of hope. And you think about Abraham's life, think about the circumstances surrounding his life. Nothing about what God said looked realistic to him. You know, we talked about, I think, Abraham a couple of weeks ago, where he had to leave and, you know, pretty much start over. He had issues with Lot and, you know, all of that, but he still believed God. And, you know, I'm believing God for some things, a lot of things, and I'm sure that you are too. And it just seems as if the reality of what God has promised you, sometimes it seems so far-fetched. It seems so unattainable. And, you know, I think this is where Paul was talking to the church at Rome, and he said that against hope, he believed in hope, you know, against what you see, against what the credit score looks like, against what your bank account looks like, against what people have said or haven't done, against all of that, against hope, he believed in hope, you know, even considering the deadness of his own body. Now, you know, that takes a miracle from God. If the Lord says to you that, you know, I'm going to use you out of your body, you're going to be the father of many nations. You know, from your body, you're going to be the father of many nations, and your body is dead. You know what I'm saying? Your body is dead. It has no life. It has no ability to reproduce. You know, your wife is beyond childbearing years, and God is telling you, just when you think it's over and done with, and I just want to encourage somebody in the faith today, just when you think it's over and done with, my God, when you feel like things will never change, when you feel like that promise will never come, that person you'll never meet, that thing, opportunity will never come, or it's already passed and you'll never have a second chance. The Bible said against hope, he believed in hope. In other words, Abraham said, you know what? My body may not be functioning, you know, up to par, and I may not be physically capable of doing what God has said he's going to do, even to the point of producing nations. I mean, are you kidding? It's a struggle just to use the bathroom. You know what I'm saying? But you're going to strengthen my body to the degree that I'm going to produce nations. And I believe that's what God is saying to some of you. I know that's what he's saying to me. You know, against hope. It doesn't look like it right now, daughter. It doesn't look like it right now, son. As a matter of fact, God said, I have designed your circumstances to cause you to have faith. In other words, there's no other way that this thing will be done outside of the realm of faith. You don't have enough money to do it. You don't have what it takes to do it. You don't have the support to do it. I'm telling you, God will ordain situations in your life. And I just hear the Holy Spirit prompting me to tell you about David. Just when you think that my life is relegated to the wilderness, just when you think that I will always be a shepherd boy, I will always be an outcast, I will always be the least of my family, I will always be the object of my brother's ridicule, you know, I will always be the object of my father's sin, you know. Every time my father sees me, he's reminded of the sin that he committed with the woman that he impregnated. You know what I'm saying? And I'm sure David felt like, I will never be that one. I don't even have the stature. So, you know that he didn't come from the same bloodline because he didn't even have the same stature as his brothers. It wasn't until, listen to me carefully, it wasn't until God anointed David that he came into his stature. And it wasn't until he went through the suffering that he came into his stature. And so some of us are wondering, why, God, you said this was going to happen in my life and I don't have the stature. You know, I don't size up. I don't measure up to what you, oh, I feel the presence of God. I don't measure up because I hear God talking to me. Hallelujah, Jesus. You know, I don't measure up to the standards. I don't have that. I'm not about that. I'm not, you know, I just don't have it. I don't, against hope, I yet believe in hope. You say, Samuel, you say I'm going to be king, but you know, I don't even have a bedroom in my father's house. I don't even have, you know, I haven't even had the opportunity to sit down and have dinner, you know, but you want me to be king. You understand what I'm saying? And so God is telling Abraham the same thing. You know, your body is dead. You have no ability. You've had prior to this point, no ability to reproduce. You and your wife, you just enjoyed a life of just the two of you. You have never known the pleasure of hearing the pitter patter of little feet. You've never known the pleasure of welcoming your own flesh and blood into this world. You never had the pleasure, but God said, I'm going to do it. And there's some areas in your life you never had the pleasure to experience certain things, but God said, I'm going to do it. Despite the lack of hope, despite the lack of evidence. And that's what faith is. It's the lack of evidence that, God, you said this, but I don't see it. And God said, yeah, and that's why I'm going to do it, because I said it and you don't see it. Powerful. So who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations? He said, God, I'm not, you know, only if you said it, then you're going to have to do it, because within my own strength, there, I just don't have that capacity. I don't have the capacity to do that. I don't have the capacity to pull that off. So it has to be you. So if you said it, then this is what it's going to be. Right? And the Bible says, verse 19, and being not weak in the faith. And this is so important. So important. Don't be weak in the faith. Be strong in the faith. God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. Everybody can believe God for something. Everyone can believe God for something. You can believe God for what he said. You can look back over the testimonies of your life. I was reading something last night. Look over God's resume. Look over the works that he has done. Look over the promises that he's already brought to pass. Look at the deliverances. You know what? Even if you don't look at that, look at your salvation experience. Look at what God has done for you. I look at my life and let me tell you something, man. God, hallelujah. God brought me out of some stuff. God brought me out of some stuff. God saved me and is still saving me. And I mean that he saved my soul, you know, but he's still saving me. You know, that's why the Bible said, work out your own salvation. It is a work in progress. You don't just get saved and, well, I'm on my way to heaven. You've been saved from hell. But you've been saved to something. You've been saved to do a work. You've been saved to minister. You've been saved to be a blessing. You've been saved to pour out. You've been saved to uplift. You've been saved to tear down. You've been saved from something and saved to something. You know? So, being not weakened in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. Undeniable fact that I am not able to reproduce. I'm barren, either, you know, either I'm sterile or my wife is barren, or the combination of the two, you know, but we can't deny the fact that we have no children. So something between us is dead. Something is off. But God said, I'm looking at her. She's looking at me. But God said, you're looking at your circumstances. You're looking at the people that you have or don't have in your corner. But God said, God is not limited by circumstances. God is not limited by age. God is not limited by time. God is not limited. He's unlimitable. Now, yeah, I made that up. He's unlimitable. He's unrestrainable. Kiki Shear said he's uncontainable. You can't contain God in the confines of your problem. He's so much bigger, the young lady said. Forget her name. He's so much bigger than that. Okay? So, consider not his own body now dead. When he was about 100 years old, right? Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. So we know he was around 75 or so when he had, when he came out. So around this time, and this is the kind of point that I want to bring home, and I'm still talking about the audacity to hope, of hope, excuse me. Around this time, I believe it was 75 when he was called out. So the Bible said around when he was about 100 years old, he didn't consider the deadness of Sarah's womb, and they had relations. But even prior to that, you know, because you've got to be very careful when you're in seasons where your faith is being challenged, because people will suggest things to you in the area of your vulnerability, in the area of your weakness. When Job was going through his challenges, he was certainly going through a challenge of faith. Here his wife came. Why don't you curse God and die? So you be very careful that there would be people, even people close to you. Okay? And I wouldn't necessarily say the devil is using them. Some people just out of their own frail humanity will suggest things. I've had people say that, why don't you just do this? Why don't you? Because they don't have the faith to believe what God told you. You do the people around you a great disservice. God, I hear the Holy Spirit talking. You do the people around you a great disservice when you expect them to have the faith for what God told you that God didn't give them the measure of faith for. I need to say that again. You do the people around you a great disservice when you expect them to have the same faith in something God promised you that God didn't give them the measure of faith for. God didn't give Sarah the measure of faith. He didn't give Sarah the prophetic word. It came to Abraham. And so I think the frustration that some of us experience when we are contending for promises, like Paul told Timothy, war for your prophetic promise, right? Fight for that thing. I think I did on my newsletter, I wrote about the war for your prophetic promise. And you can sign up for that. It's on my church website, www.tlcor.org. And you can sign up for my monthly newsletter. And so, you know, Paul was telling Timothy about warring for your prophetic promise. But, you know, you cannot expect people, and this is where some of you need to release some folk that you're mad with, you're frustrated with, even some folk you cut off, you know, because you got angry with them because they couldn't see what God told you. God didn't give them that. That was for you. So God didn't give, Job's wife didn't have the tenacity to endure the hardship like Job had. Not everyone has the tenacity for struggle, for conflict, for challenge that you have. When I can't remember now exactly where they were. I don't know if this was Ziklag. I don't know for certain. Don't quote me on it, okay? But when David came back from battle and found that his wives and children and all the other men's wives and children were gone, the men turned and wanted to kill him. Now, they know David's testimony as a mighty man of valor. They had just won the battle. So instead of them saying, hey, we're going to exact revenge on those who took, you know, our family, they wanted to fight David. Okay? So there's some people in seasons of distress. Thank you, Holy Spirit. that you expect to be strong, and God didn't give them that strong. They don't have that strong. You know, they don't have that. And you expecting them, and you saying, well, I don't understand why they just don't get it. I don't understand why they just can't. Like Jesus said, why you can't watch me for 1 hour? They didn't have the tenacity. They didn't have the stamina. And so that's why he said, you know what? Go ahead and sleep. And I hear the Holy Spirit saying to somebody, somebody's you, talking to you. Yes, you. God said, tell them, go ahead and sleep. Stop expecting them to show up to battle with you, because God didn't give them that battle, you know, mindset. He didn't give them the same faith that you have. He didn't give them the same stamina. He didn't give that to them. So go ahead and sleep, sis, bruh. God bless you. I cannot even hold this against you, because you know what? God didn't put that in you. And you don't have to tell them that, because you're going to start a fight. But you just have to know that in your knower. I have to release you from holding you responsible for something that you don't even have the capacity to fulfill. Now, that's something that we hold. We have a tendency to hold people hostage in a strength, hold people responsible for a strength that God did not give them. God gave you that strength. So there's some seasons where you have to stand alone. Jesus had to stand alone, being the Lord of glory. So don't think you're so special, you know, that everybody's supposed to walk, you know, to the same beat of your drum when you're in a season of conflict. There will be some seasons that God ordained for you to walk by yourself. And after Jesus was done, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I cannot hold this against you. I cannot hold this against you. You abandoned me in a season of challenge. You abandoned me in a season of conflict. But you know what? I cannot hold it against you, because if it was in you, if God deposited in you the strength to stand with me in battle, then you would have stood. But you know, I can't fault you for operating in something that, or fault you for not operating in something that you didn't have. And so this is where I think where the rubber hits the road in terms of having the audacity of faith when nobody around you has that same faith. They can't see what you see. They don't know what you know. They have not been where you've been. They're not going where you're going. And there's nothing against them. That doesn't make you elite. I'm just saying that's not their portion. God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. Not everyone has the same faith. Faith has to be built. The Bible said, praying in the Holy Spirit, building yourself up in your most holy faith. So faith comes through prayer. Faith comes through perseverance. Faith comes through exercising the gifts of the Spirit. Faith comes through spending time in the presence. You know, faith just doesn't, you don't just wake up and have faith. If we all begin with a measure of faith, and that measure of faith is just enough to get you to believe God, just enough to get you saved. Oh, yes, I believe the gospel. I hear. I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe he's the Son of God. I believe he came, died, and rose again for the remission of my sins. That measure of faith was just enough to get you saved. But from that point forward, you grow. Your mustard seed should have grown. You should be, come on now. You should go from little faith to great faith. I mentioned a while back, Jesus said to the centurion, he marveled. I said, I have not seen so much faith. Jesus saw great faith in a man who wasn't even saved. Now, he didn't have faith in Jesus. Well, yes, he did. He had faith in God's. He had faith in God's ability to heal. Not in him as Lord and Savior, because come on, people's faith is different. There's some people who have faith that they're going to play the lottery, and they do it religiously. You know, so faith has many dynamics and many dimensions. What do you have faith in? I have faith. The Bible says I have faith in God. Okay. Because we have faith in people. We have faith in our money. We have faith in our physical ability, our physical appearance. But you need to have faith in God. So the audacity of faith, hope, the audacity of hope against everything that I don't see, I believe God. I'm telling you, there's some things I'm believing God for. And I believe that's why he gave me this message. And listen, the Holy Spirit is preaching to me as he's preaching to you. Because I told God, God, I don't know how. I was talking to my husband last night, even this morning. I said, honey, this is, we have our own family vision. We have a ministry vision. We have personal vision. And you know, sometimes I'm like, God, I don't see that. You know, I don't doubt him, but I just don't see it. Help my unbelief. You know, help my unbelief. And so God will give you testaments and scripture, testimonies in scripture to build your faith. So I want to hit on this a little bit, because I don't have that much longer to share with you. Romans 4:18-19, and being not weak in the faith, he considered not his own body now dead, even up to being 100 years old, neither he considered the deadness of Sarah's womb. So listen, there were two things going on here. Number one, his body's dead, but then Sarah's body's dead too. And so that kind of puts you in a situation to where, okay, God, my stuff is jacked up, but the person that I need to connect with, that stuff is jacked up too. So, but you're still saying connect. You're still saying network. You're still saying, you know, build. You're still telling me, you know, because wouldn't it be something if God would tell you, I want you to connect to so-and-so, and so-and-so has all the access keys and doors and portals and gates that you need to get to the next level. It doesn't really take faith to do that. You just get up and make a phone call. But what do you do when the person or persons or thing, let me put it like that, because for all of us it's different. What do you do when the thing that God is telling you to connect to is just as it's just as worse as, you know, their situation is just as bad as yours. Case in point, Elijah and the widow Zarephath. Thank you, Holy Ghost. God is telling Elijah, now his stuff is he's not having a good season. You know what I'm saying? The prophet of God is not having a good season. As a matter of fact, he's suffering. Listen to this. As a result of prophecy he gave. So we have to be careful. Sometimes we love to get up and damn people to hell. And oh, God is about to bring judgment. And God is about to. And yeah, that may be the case. I'm not knocking it. But what I'm saying is, don't forget to include yourself in that equation. Okay? Because if God is judging America and judging the church and judging so and so and so, and if you're a member of that thing, then, you know, just get ready, you know, to eat the fruit of your own prophetic word. You know, I hear people get up and just curse us. It's so and so and so. This place is going to hell in a handbasket. And I'm like, not me. You know what I'm saying? Not I. You know, I refuse to be included in that. You think about Moses when he went to release the judgment of God, the plagues of Egypt. Guess what? They had to experience that too, to a greater or lesser degree. So, you know, we have to be careful, prophets, you know, we're releasing. And I'm not saying, you know, because, yeah, God will tell you, you know, some things and you won't have to suffer. Many prophets have Jeremiah, certainly Ezekiel. Ezekiel had to eat dung over, you know, a cookout, you know. I mean, so, yeah, there'll be times when Daniel certainly had to suffer. Joseph had to suffer. I mean, many prophets. So don't get it twisted, my friends. You know, don't think that you're going to release a thus saith and then you don't have to suffer with the people. You know, sometimes you have to suffer with the people. Moses had to suffer with the people. Okay, so just tuck that under your hat and you can have that for free. But in terms of Elijah, when he pronounced the drought, amen, he prophesied drought in Israel, that he had to suffer the consequence of that thing too. And so you're talking about connecting to somebody whose situation is just as bad off as yours. He's at the brook being fed by dirty ravens, dirty birds. Thank God for provision, however they come. You know, God, let me tell you, there have been many seasons I had to eat from dirty birds. You know, it wasn't something I would have, you know, set up myself, but it was the provision, the way God made for me to survive for that season. We all have seasons where you got to eat from a dirty bird, whatever that looks like. You know, you may have to take a job that pays less than what your worth is, less than your education. That's a dirty bird. That's a raven. You're having to settle for less than what you are. I hope that came out right. You know, the prophet is the eagle. And the eagle, which is used to gathering his own, has to now be fed by a raven. That's offensive. So you have to understand that sometimes, you know, there are seasons where you got to eat from dirty birds. You've got to accept handouts. You got to shop at stores that you don't necessarily, you know, doesn't make you less than a prophet. That's just your season. You know, it's just your season. There may be a season where God is protecting you. In that season of Elijah's life, God was protecting him. I know we're talking about Abraham, but y'all know how the prophetic goes. Come on, somebody. You know, that just may be a season. Doesn't mean you're going to always be there. You're not going to always be stuck in that low paying job making minimum wage. You're not going to always be stuck driving that car that you got to get a jump every time you go somewhere. You're not going to always be stuck. But that it may be a season of humility for you. It may be a season of purging for you. It may be, listen, God may deliberately, oh God, I hear you, Holy Ghost. God may deliberately have you in a season of lack to protect you from folk who come and take advantage of you. And then the minute God breaks that those people out of your life, and I'm gonna tell you, I'm gonna testify, the minute God breaks those associations, you're gonna see wealth increase. There's some seasons, oh, I hear you, God. I'm coming. We rolling with the prophetic, y'all. There's some seasons you will have intentional lack, and you wonder, well, God, I tithe, I sow seed, I'm faithful, I'm a good steward over, you know, my resources. And God said, yeah, baby, sweetheart, daughter, son, I have. Hey, you're right. What's happening right now has nothing to do with your faithfulness. Stay faithful. You know, you may can't have steak this week. It may be a bowl of Captain Crunch. Stay faithful. You're still anointed. I'm doing something right now. I'm doing something. I'm hiding you under. Sometimes God will hide you under lack to protect you. God had to hide Elijah at the brook because nobody would look for him there. So God will hide you on a low paying job. God will hide you in a car, you know, a lemon or what have you. He'll hide you because there are some people who will gravitate towards you if they see what you really, if they see your potential. Lot did it to Abraham. He saw Abraham's potential and he gravitated toward him. Why? Because he wanted to take advantage of it. And it hindered Abraham from producing to his fullest potential because of what was connected to him. So I'm just saying. I'm just saying, some of you may be in an intentional season of lack. The Bible said Jesus became poor that we may become rich. If Jesus came with all the splendor, honey, let me tell you, everybody would have served him. You see what I'm saying? Everybody would have served him. Everybody would have followed him. Why? Because of what he had, not because of who he was. And so sometimes, thank you, Holy Ghost, I hear you talking. Sometimes God will ordain seasons of leanness and seasons of lack to keep people away from you who are out to use you, out to manipulate you, out to frustrate you, and ultimately out to sabotage what God's put inside of you. But you're frustrated. Why? Here I am, a prophet, and I'm sitting here eating from a dirty bird. Here I am, a pastor, and I've got a church with 10 people. God is protecting you. God is hiding you. Jesus told Mary, woman, what have I to do with you? It's not my time. So if you don't understand the timing of God, you don't understand. I tell my Charlotte church all the time, learn how to understand. Bless them. I love them. God help me. They don't learn how, praise God, to understand seasons and timings. Learn how to understand it. So you won't backslide every time something adverse happens in your life. You depress, you discourage, you won't worship, you won't give because, oh, I'm going through. Yes, go through. That's the point. Go through. Let me finish my point. So, there will be times, going back to talking about the deadness of Abraham's body and the deadness of Sarah's womb, there will be times for the purpose of which God is destined for your life, where you will be, God will require you to connect with somebody whose situation is just as dead as yours. And you're like, I don't even see how. Can I say this to, if there are any singles listening to me? Any singles on the line? Hello, God bless you, shouting you out. Hey. If there's, you know what? You have to be careful that you're not overlooking your potential because right now they have the appearance of a dead womb. They don't have the money. They don't have the credit. They don't have the prestige. They don't have the clothes. They don't have none of that. But guess what? That's what destiny is. And God may be, oh, God, I feel you, Jesus. God may be hiding them in a season of hardship, in a season of poverty. What you going to do about that? Well, I can't, honey. I can't entertain that. Or no, I can't. I can't fool with that right there. Why? Why? Because their womb is dead. The audacity of hope says, against hope, I believe in hope that despite what you have or don't have and despite what I don't have, God said it's going to happen. Now, I don't know how it's going to, I don't know. Because my thoughts are not like his ways. Come on now. I don't know how he's going to do it. But God is going to do it. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in the faith, my people. My friends, be strong in the faith. Don't give up. Come on now. If you can believe that when you die and leave this world, you're going to go to heaven, and you've never physically been to heaven, you've been to Walmart, you've been to your local grocery store, you've been to, you know, you travel a little bit, but you've never physically been. And some of you may have had the experience of going to heaven. I know I have, you know, but many people have not. But yet you got the faith to believe that when you die, and you've never died before. I'm just saying, you've never died before. You never had anyone come back, which you got to be careful with that anyway, who come back to tell you. I mean, the Bible tells us about Abraham, he's, you know, and Lazarus. I mean, yeah, Lazarus, Abraham, and the rich man gives us that account. But you can believe God that when you die and leave this earth, God is going to escort you, send angels of rest to escort you to heaven. And you're going to forever be in the presence of God. Now, you can believe that. But you can't believe God to do something right here in this physical realm for you. You can't believe God to bless you with a mate who will love you for you, because you can't get past the deadness of their womb, even though God promised you. But you're looking at them and you're like, mm-mm, they don't have it. I don't see it. Uh-uh. You don't have the faith to see beyond what's on the outside. You don't have the discernment to look within that person's soul and see the potential for relationship. But you can believe God to go to heaven. But you can't believe God to launch your business. You can't believe God that you can finish your degree. By the grace of God, y'all, I'm finishing up my third degree. My third degree. And I didn't know. I'm telling you. I said, God, I don't have the time. I don't have. But against hope. Yeah, I had to make some changes and manage my time. I mean, come on, somebody. But by the grace of God, I'm doing it. I'm you know, praise God. I boast in the Lord. Against hope. God, I don't have the money. I don't have the time. I don't have the support. I don't have this. Can you believe God? Can you believe God? The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. But we will lift up holy hands in the sanctuary and praise a God that we don't even believe in. Stop that. If God said it, he will do it. If he has spoken it, he will bring it to pass. He said, am I a man that can lie? Neither. I'm not a God that can lie, neither the son of man that can repent. It may look so far beyond you. And God is saying, yes, that's what I want it to look like. I want you to go to Zarephath, and I want you to connect with a widow who is just as poverty stricken, just as hopeless as you are. And in that, in your obedience, because God is not looking at what she had in her bucket barrel. He's looking at obedience. You be obedient and go, and she be obedient to respond, and I'm going to show up and show you my glory. So I'm going to leave that with you today. I'm going to leave that with you today and just encourage your heart to have the audacity of hope. Dare to believe God. Dare to trust him. I'm talking to myself too, because I'm telling you. Ooh. Wow. You know what I'm saying? God has promised me, just me talking about me, has promised me some awesome things. And when I look around me, I'm telling you, I feel like Elijah at Zarephath. I'm like, God, I don't see it. I mean, at Cherith, the brook Cherith. I'm like, God, I don't see this right now. But you said it, though. But you said it. And I look back over my life and I look back over, oh my God, all the seasons of life where God has brought me out with a strong hand. And every time God brought me out, I had to sit down and shake my head because I didn't see it coming. Nobody could have told me God was going to do it like that. So stop trying to figure out how God is going to do it and just do it. Okay? I'm going to leave this thought with you. So I don't have time to get into the actual scripture. But yeah, Abraham indeed had a child with Sarah. Remember, his body was dead. Abraham had a child with Hagar, even though his body was dead. And then after Sarah passed away, and after he married Isaac, Abraham married Keturah. This is in Genesis 20, I think 25. He married another woman. Her name was Keturah. And you know what? He had six children. So you're talking about a man who was barren up to 100 years old and then miraculously God touches his body to produce seed. He doesn't have one. He doesn't have two. This man who was sterile had 8 children. Do you know what that number 8 represents, people of God? The new beginning. I prophesy to you, the new beginning, that God will resurrect the dead thing in your life. The thing that you thought could never be, would never work, would never happen, will never fulfill or manifest itself. And that's the area that God is going to visit you in. That's your new beginning. God is going to turn it around and astonish you and fulfill every word he's spoken concerning your life. I leave that word of encouragement with you. I pray you enjoy the remaining of your day. Until next time, grace and peace.